Good morning, Calvary Community Church. Very hard to pronounce. It's very long. Okay. Always a city church, okay. Yeah, it's so good to see each one of you. And it's always a joy to return to the house of God. So turn to the person next to you and say, it's a joy to see you today. Okay, like Pastor, Jeff said that I'm going to share the pulpit with Sister Pearly. Now, our title this morning is Returning to the House, Returning to the Lord, okay? And in returning to the Lord, there are many aspects of it. And according to the theme for this year, for the first quarter, is returning to our first love, returning to the Word of God, and returning to the house of God. But this morning, I'm going to just touch on just one aspect, and that is returning to our first love. Okay? Now, as we return to our first love, God has many things in store for us. And we have two theme scriptures this morning. And first is Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 3 and 4. We're not going to read it yet. And then we have Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Now, why? Why do we? There's two reasons why we need to return to the Lord. Why we need to return to our first love. There's two reasons. And the first is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 3 and 4. Let's have it on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 31. Okay. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The songs were all about that this morning, confirmed the message. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you, and again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. So the first reason why we need to return to our first love is because God loves us with an everlasting love. And you see, He loves us so much. He wants us to come back to Him. You know, and He says, you know, He is drawing us. It's not that we are wanting to come back to our first love. It says that He is drawing us back. He's wanting us to come back. No one can love us the way God loves us. Nothing, no one can satisfy that love, that this longing in our hearts. It's only God Himself. And so we must return to that first love, because this is what we have experienced in Him as soon as we came to the Lord. And so as we return to Him, it says in the next verse, He said He will again build us and we will be built. And then it says, you shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. What it says to me is, He's going to restore the joy of our salvation. Now, when we lose our first love, one of the things that we lose is the joy of our salvation. And so the first reason why we need to return to our first love is because He loved us first. And He still loves us with an everlasting love. And He's just waiting for each one of us to come back to Him. So that's the first reason. See, when someone loves you so much, definitely they will expect you to respond to that love. We are the same. When we love someone, we wait for them to return that love, to come back to us. So God loves us. No matter what you have gone through, it doesn't matter how things have been for you, but He loves you with an everlasting love. This morning, the songs were about how we love Him and how He loves us. God loves us so much. Nothing can replace His love in our lives. So I'm telling you this morning, we must return to our first love. That's the first reason. Now, the second reason is found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. It tells us that He says He knows our works, He knows our labor, our patience, and He says that He knows that we have persevered without getting weary. But it says in this passage, He says, but I have this against you. This one thing that he has against us, in spite of all that we do, in spite of all that we are doing for him and everything, this one thing he says he has against us, that we have forsaken our first love. We have turned away from our first love. And this is so true. It's so true. You know, we have gone away from the Lord. Our hearts have been turned away from loving the Lord the way we loved him when we first came to know him. You know, we have turned, our hearts have been turned away. And also the things of God, we have become indifferent to the things of God. If you remember the day that you came to know the Lord and how you used to be so passionate about God and so passionate about God's work and the things of God. But we have lost it. Every one of us, in one way or another, we have lost that first love. We have forsaken that first love. And also, it's the routines of our life that keeps us away from that love. We are so caught up and distracted by the routines of our daily life. And here again, there are others who have become indifferent and cold towards God because of the disappointments, the discouragements, and the unanswered prayer predicaments. All these are real, yes. And yet there are others who also feel like they have been left. God has left them in the wilderness for 40 years, just like the Israelites. Yeah, all this is real. We all go through different aspects of these things. But I'm not here to dwell on those things, the negative things that have happened in our lives. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is about to make it up to you. Yes, this year, 2023, he's about to make it up to you for all that you have gone through. The waiting time that you have waited so long and you feel it's never going to come to pass. I'm telling you, God is about to make it up to you. And he's going to restore all that the enemy has stolen from us through the years, through all those things that we have gone through. He's about to restore. And this is found in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Let me read that to you. He says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, and the consuming locust." And he says, "And the chewing locust and great army which I sent among you." So he tells us this, yes, that he's about to restore to us. Lord, let's not dwell on all those things that has taken our heart away from the Lord. All those things that has distracted us from our first love. He's about to restore things. He's about to come through for us. And we need to take the first step by drawing back into that first love, into that love. Okay? Now here, I'm going to share with you how we can return to our first love. I have 3 points here. The first way that we can return to our first love is to return to him in total trust. Total trust, complete trust. Proverbs 3 verse 5, it tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Don't doubt him. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight, in your own thinking. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So we need to once again, learn to trust him. I know sometimes you feel that you're waiting and you feel disappointed, but now he's telling you one more time, give me a chance to prove myself to you. Yes, that's what God is wanting to do. He wants us to once again trust him, like in that simple faith that when we first came to know the Lord, we trusted. Whatever God spoke to us, we obeyed because we trust him. You know, that kind of trust. We need to come back to that place of simplicity in our heart in trusting God with whatever he tells us. And then we need to choose to believe. We need to choose to believe that he can. He can do all things. There's nothing that's impossible with him. So we need to trust him all over again and believe that he is able to do these things. Truly, I've been a Christian for 50 years. You know? And I've seen again and again things which I thought was impossible. There are times there was a doubt, can this be done? But I tell you, I assure you, in what I've experienced in my life, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that is impossible with God. Amen. Even if you hear a situation and it sounds like it's no hope, there's no way out, God will always make a way out. I assure you this. I've experienced this, and I want you to once again come back to God in that belief and say, yes, Lord, I believe you. Even though it looks impossible, I believe you. I trust you, Lord. I totally, 100% of your heart must trust him. Don't let doubts come in and hinder you from allowing God to do what he wants to do in your life. Okay? Now, number two, we need to return to him in renewed faith. What do I mean by renewed faith? Now, when your faith is renewed, after all those disappointments and discouragements, when your faith is renewed, when you pray, you will expect something. There must be that expectation in your heart. And there must be that anticipation that he will answer. You pray and you believe it will be answered. You pray and you wait for the answer because you know God is real. He's alive. He's a prayer-hearing God. He's a prayer-answering God. Amen. So we need to come back to a renewed faith in him. And then in Romans 4:17, it tells us, call into being those things that are not as though they were. Now, this is a new level of faith. God doesn't want us to live in our old faith, but he wants a new faith, a new level of faith where when you pray, you believe it and you receive the answer straight away in your spirit, and then it comes to pass. You see, we're in calling into being the things that are not. Now, Abram was known as Abram first, and then God changed his name to Abraham. Now, do you know that he called him Abraham means the father of many nations. Now, when God called him and changed his name to Abraham, he wasn't a father yet. And so, it's something that's there by faith. And we receive it in our spirit when we pray, we receive it and we thank God for it, and then it will come to pass. In the same way, like how Hannah was crying out for a child and was a baby, waiting for a baby, and finally she was crying and weeping and she was in anguish, but it was at one point that she began to receive that quietness and that peace that God has already done it. And so she received it in a spirit. She had not conceived yet. Okay? She received that child in her spirit. And then in verse 20, you see that after that she conceived. So the breakthrough is in your spirit, man. You receive it as you pray and as you seek the Lord and you come with renewed faith and you begin to speak into those situations. When you speak into those situations, it will take. Because your word, God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in his mouth. When he said, let there be light, there was light. So in the same way, your mouth is powerful. God's word in your mouth is as powerful. So you need to speak the word into the spirit realm and receive the answer in your spirit. And then it will come to pass. Amen. I want you to move into this new level of faith. Okay? A renewed faith. Catch that in the spirit and you'll see what can happen in your life. Okay? Now, number three. Return to him full of the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, how can this happen? How can you return? Now, you're still dwelling on some of those negative things. How can you return to him in that first love with full of fire and full of the Holy Spirit? How can it be done? It's only in one way. And it all, our whole life, our Christian life boils around this. Now we need to come back to a place of consistency in walking with him. In our relationship with, this is the most important thing in all your Christian life. Whether you're a young Christian, whether you're an older Christian, you're in between Christian, it doesn't matter. But this is everything. This is everything. If you have this, you have everything. So you need that consistency. If there is a New Year resolution that you want to make, let it be this. That I want to be consistent in my relationship with God this year. And I want to be consistent in my intimacy with God. Now, when you get into that kind of intimacy and consistently walking with Him, returning to His Word, returning to worship, returning to His presence, and returning to the house of God to receive God's Word and be encouraged by one another, what happens? You will be full of the Holy Spirit. And you will be on fire for God. Yes, you will be on fire for God. You want to just please God. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you need to take steps of faith in order to please Him. So when we return to Him in the fullness of His presence, fullness of His love, that's what will make a difference in our life. See, when we spend time in the presence of God, you'll experience His love. And that love of God, when it overwhelms in you, when you reach out to others and they will experience the love of God through your life. And that's how it works. And so right now, I want you to know that we can be revived. We can come back to our first love and we can be revived and we can have the fullness of the power of God in our lives. And God is not expecting us to be mundane Christians. He wants us in this generation, in this season, to be powerful Christians where the gifts of God will move in each one of our lives. When every one of us, it doesn't have to be just the pastors or leaders, but each one of us, when we lay hands, we will see healing. We will see miracles. And when we lay hands on people, you will see that people will be set free. Yes, we need to take that step of faith and to allow the fullness of the presence and the power of God through us to others. And the people out there are waiting for the church because God gave the power to the church to set the people free out there. Amen. Yes, we need to get up. We need to arise. Every one of you, we need to return to our first love and we need to do the first works. Then how the Lord will just use us mightily. Now I'm going to close here right now and this is what I want to tell you before I pass this time to Sister Pearlie. I want you to know this. You need to pursue God, receive the fullness of His presence and His love every day in consistency with the Lord, and you will be fired up for God in 2023. God is waiting for you. Don't miss it. His arms are open. His loving kindness endures forever. And with His loving kindness, He's drawing you. Won't you respond to Him? Yes. Let me pray with you before I pass this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you love each one of us so much. And your arms are wide open for every one of us to come back to you. Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Spirit, your love over each one of us, that we will receive it today. And Lord, we will arise this year, 2023. And Lord, to fulfill our call and to fulfill your purposes in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Father, we pray that you bless the rest of this time and bless Sister Pearlie as she brings your word in power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Let me pass it down. Let's welcome Sister Pearlie.
Thank you, Pastor Betty. I was telling Ivy, I was like, wow, what a powerful message, Pastor Betty. I don't think I need to preach anymore because everything I wanted to say, you already said it. So thank you, Pastor Betty. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you. Now, it has only been a couple of months since I was here, but it's been such a gift to be welcome into this family. So I really want to thank you. Thank you for inviting me into your community. Thank you to Pastor Betty and Pastor Rajan who has championed us younger people, the younger generation, to lead under them, to lead beside them. And they really, really meant what they say. You know, they not only say they believe in us, but they really did it with their actions and empowered us to really lead. So I'm really grateful and thank you, Pastor Betty and Pastor Rajan. Yeah. So in this day and age, we are faced with two very big battles. And both battles involve our mind. Our first battle is a battle for our attention. our attention span. You know, there's a study that showed that in the year 2000, our attention span is only 12 seconds. 12 seconds, you know. And then 5 years later, 2015, our attention span is only 8.25 seconds. Which means, by the time I finish this sentence, your mind is already wondering, what's for lunch? Right, Jared, Ashoka? McDonald's? Yeah. So 8.25 seconds. And a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. So an average human being can focus less than a goldfish. And look, like you'll be like easily distracted, you know, these days. Like you're wanting to do something. And then, okay, you pick up your phone, you reply a WhatsApp, and then you scroll through Instagram. Then when you're scrolling through Instagram, there's an advertisement that came out. You know, the advertisement is very smart. It's as if they are hearing our conversations, you know. Now we're talking about lunch, all the ads about food, or this cafe, that cafe, all will start popping up in your phones, you know. And then the next thing you know, wow, a few hours has passed. What have I done with my life? You know, all these marketing agencies and game developers, they're actually smarter than we think they are. They're all trying to grab our attention. Now, the second battle that we face is even greater than this. It's a battle for our mind, our thought life. What are we thinking about? When a bad situation happens to us, do our thoughts have like hope? You know, if my God is for me, who can be against me? Or are we spiraling down in despair? There are so many clients that I do in-house inner healing for this church and the other churches. And a lot of them, they walk into my office and say, Pearlie, I just cannot help it. But, you know, have so much fear, constantly thinking that no one loves me, no one appreciates me. And I don't want to take this lightly, you know, that I just read an article, the stats for suicidal rates in Malaysia. Now, this stats has increased 80%, 2002, increased 80% from 2021, 2021. An average of 5 people actually take their lives. Is this sad? It is very sad. And this is just not a number. It's not just a stats. It may be to you, until you lose someone through suicide. I myself had lost a friend, a really good friend. We worked very closely in the company. One day we went for a company trip. He had a fight with his girlfriend. And my other friend was actually walking, and suddenly a body just dropped from the third floor and just died. I lost my friend through suicide. And it's like, that's crazy. Like, that is crazy to think. Like, why would anyone want to take their life because they had an argument with their girlfriend? I don't know. You know, and I had this client. She's only 14 years old. 14 years old. And she has already overdosed 3 times. I was like, there is such a battle for our mind, what we believe in. How do we view ourselves? How do we view the future? You know, I'm so glad in some way or another, I'm glad 2022 has passed. Now, 2022 was not, it was tough. It wasn't the worst year of my life, you know, but it wasn't a great year as well. And maybe you're like me, it's like 2023, yeah, breakthrough, you know, pastor like the whoa, you know, like, and then Isaiah 43 says, God is doing a new thing, you're a breakthrough, you're a freedom. And then the next week, you went home and you got into a huge argument with your mom. Or, you know, like I knew a couple of friends, they had COVID, you know, the first week of January, and they were so miserable for 1 week. I had a counselee last week and he was saying, Pearlie, 2022 was the hardest year of my life, but I'm so ready for 2023 because I feel that God is doing something, God is going to do something, God is going to redeem my family. And then the first week of January, he was just so overwhelmed with like sexual thoughts, you know, like pornography thoughts, and he was struggling. And he said, Pearlie, you don't understand. I was free from this addiction for 3 years. I have not watched porn for 3 years. But come 2023, suddenly he had all this temptation. Now, why are all these things happening? Because the enemy knows that every year at the start of the year, people will come back to the Lord. People want to say like, God, I repent. I'm returning to you. I am making a fresh commitment to love you, to trust you. You know, like, God, this is a year of miracle. So the enemy knows that. And what does he want to do? He wants to knock you out. Right? He doesn't want you to live with hope. He doesn't want you to live with faith. He wants to knock you out. My mom has this theory. He says, the more you want to come close to God, the more resistance you will get. But the enemy cannot win. If we don't allow him to win, he will not win. Amen? Amen? And I understand, you know, some of you are battling, you know, disease, sickness, pain for so many years. I understand that life is tough. I understand some of your businesses are failing. I understand that you know, life just happened. But today, I'm wanting to talk to you. I'm wanting to speak to you. Don't give up. Don't give up despite your circumstances. Don't give up. Because the calling and the purpose of God over your life is too big for you to give up now. You know, in Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, run the race as if to win a prize. Now, I don't care if you have to crawl, you have to, you know, you're wounded and everything. Just finish the race, because God didn't call us to start the race. He called us to finish the race. So whatever hope and strength that you have, you know, Pastor Betty said, like, return to Him, trust in Him again, pray again, believe again that there is going to be breakthrough. That is going to be breakthrough. Now, you know, I've talked to a couple of people, actually a lot of people, you know, we talk about breakthrough. They seem to think that breakthrough will just fall from the sky. Correct or not, Pastor? 50 years, right? Breakthrough just fall from the sky. But can I tell you that breakthrough is costly? Breakthrough is costly. You know, every time you read the Bible, when God says, yes, you will win this battle, they had to do something. They had to actually go to war, right? They, you know, God said, like, you'll be victorious, Jericho will fall. They had to walk around Jericho 7 times. So, you know, we must do something for our breakthrough. Because faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? But without works, faith is dead. So we need to do something. We need to partner with God in getting our breakthrough. Now let us read from Mark chapter 5, verse 25 onwards. Can we have it on the screen? Yeah, so this is a very common passage, the woman with the issue of blood. Now we'll read it together. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years from many physicians. Okay, pause. So, you know, for us women, we have once in a month, okay? And that one also we feel like is the worst thing from the pit of hell, right? But this woman, she has never stopped bleeding for 12 years. Okay, I want you to put yourself in her shoes. Maybe men don't really understand, But for us, 12 years, never stopped bleeding, right? She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, someone say immediately. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body she was healed of this affliction. Now, I want to give you some context. You know, back the Jewish law says that if a woman is having her cycle or she's bleeding, she is deemed unclean. So no one is allowed to touch her because she is unclean. If you touch her, you will be unclean. And then you would need to go and do some purification process. You need to wash yourself and to be clean again. And in the Jewish law, a woman who's bleeding is not allowed to go into the synagogue. So that means for 12 years, this woman has never been to church, not allowed to go to church. Can you imagine the pain that she went through for 12 years? Not only physically, she's constantly exhausted, but emotionally isolated from people. Because everywhere she go, people will say, unclean, unclean, because they have to warn other people not to touch her. So everywhere she goes, she's known as this unclean woman. So physical pain, emotional pain, and not only that, every single time her friend says, hey, I heard of this famous doctor, he surely can heal you, she would just go to the hospital, spend all her money, but only to get worse. She was in pain, she was desperate, and I'm sure for 12 years she has cried, Adonai, why have you forsaken me? Why have you cursed me like this? I have loved you all my life. God, why have you not healed me? God, I need a miracle today. And some of you, you may need a miracle today. But one day, everyone say one day. One day. I love words like immediately and one day. And one day she heard a rumor. She heard there's this man called Jesus that was coming to town. Jesus can heal the sick. And instead of feeling like, I just heard it before, lah, did this, done that already. No, there's no hope for me. She did not. She said, today is a day of breakthrough. Today, I'm going to get my healing. Today, I will not give up. I am exhausted. I'm sick of my situation. But she said, today, I'm going to be healed. And she picked herself up. Whatever strength she has, she picked herself up and she, you know, worked her way through the crowd. And there were so many people, you know, so many people surrounding Jesus. It was not easy. She worked her way through a crowd. Even people say, like, hey, I know this woman. She's unclean. What is she doing here? You know, crowd, you have to touch each other. And she did not care. She did not care because she said, maybe if I just touch this garment, I will be healed. And she did it. Suddenly, she had her suddenly moment, 12 years of affliction gone. In a single moment. Now, manuscripts have said that this woman's name was Victoria. Very, very English name, right? Victoria. You know what Victoria means in Latin? So Jewish people, they're very intentional in naming their kids because, you know, their kids would turn up to be that name. Victoria means she who is victorious. Now, I believe for 12 years, she did not feel like a very victorious person. Right? Can I invite the worship team to come up? Now, maybe you're sitting here and you don't feel very victorious. Again, years of hoping, years of believing. Maybe some of you have came up here for prayer after prayer, but have not seen a change. But breakthrough is at hand. Breakthrough is at hand. You know, a few days ago, the Lord reminded me, 4 years ago, I left my corporate job. I left my banking job. I left my job. But I left it for ministry school in US, in California. Now, ministry school was amazing. It was amazing, but it was tough. It was tough because I would see my classmates stand on the stage and preach with so much boldness. they're not afraid. You know, they have testimonies after testimonies of people getting healed. They will, you know, like so boldly go on the streets to talk to people about the Jesus. And I was there and I was like, God, I'm just this Asian girl who's too scared to speak. Too scared to talk to a stranger about how much Jesus loves them. Too scared to even ask a question in class. You know, that was how scared I was. And every single day I'm like, God, this cannot be my reality. The promises of God over my life, the prophecies over my life, it seems so far. The gap between me now and what where people prophesy and the promises is so far. Until one day, someone say one day. One day, 4 months later, I happened to be early in school. I was sitting in an auditorium of 2,000 seats. I was alone. It was empty. No one was there. And again, this battle in my mind was saying that, Pearlie, you're not good enough. Pearlie, you're not. What are you doing here? You're not anointed. Pearlie, you have cried out for breakthrough, but it has not come. And I was like, something came over me. And I was like, God, this cannot be it. This cannot be it. I cannot, and I must not live in fear anymore. I must not live in despair anymore. And you know what I did? Can't believe I did this until today. I went up to the stage. Now, no one was there. I went up to the stage. It was a very big stage. Ivy knows how it looks like. I went up to the pulpit, and I imagined there were thousands of people in the auditorium. And fear was so real. I tell you, my legs were trembling. My heart was beating. I had tears in my eyes as I stood on the pulpit. I was crying, but I preached for 1 minute. I preached as if, like I was talking to the crowd, and I preached about God's love. Now, I wish I could say in that moment the Lord encountered me, I fell down. No, I felt like an idiot. I went back to sit. Right? Nothing in the natural, nothing happened. I didn't become like an overnight, wow, like amazing preacher. But I believe that day, I looked fear in the eyes and I say, not today. I look fear in the eyes and I say, my God is bigger than you fear. My God is bigger than me, and my God resides in me, and my God, our God resides in you. Now we're about to close, and I invite you to stand. You know, do whatever you want. You can stand, you can kneel, you can come to the front as a sign to God that we will not give up. We will do something, say something, pray something until we see breakthrough. And I speak and prophesy to your spirit to not give up. The calling on your life is too big. For the Spirit of God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind.